Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Thank you for all of your blessings, Father. Lord, all good and perfect gifts come from you. Lord, not because we deserve anything, but because you are good. Because you are gracious, because you are merciful, because you are long-suffering. And Lord, we thank you that you have been and are patient with us. God, we just pray today that, Lord, you would impart to us what we need to hear and what we need to receive. May we be changed, Lord. We ask you to feed us, Lord, with manna from heaven today. Lord, anoint us with your holy oil. Hallelujah. And God, just rejoice our hearts with your divine wine, your presence. Lord, satisfies us. We delight in you, Lord. You are our exceeding joy. We love you, Lord, and we appreciate everything you've begun and your faithfulness to complete that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Title of the message today is Speaking God's Blessing. Speaking God's Blessing. Whenever we pray and we talk to God and we bring petitions before him, requests, we are praying in hope. It's a prayer of hope. And hope is something that we want to see happen or something to be true. And actually that something that we think could happen and could be true. Hope means to cherish a desire with anticipation. So we pray because we have hope in God that he will hear us. And as you know, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So God's will always be accomplished one way or another, whether we decide to partner with him or not. God's going to have his way. If you refuse to hear or listen to his call, his voice, God will choose somebody else. But God will find somebody who's willing to come into agreement with what he wants to accomplish. And he's looking for willing vessels. You know, none of us here are qualified outside of Christ, amen, to be a vessel for him. It's the Lord who makes us holy, who makes us righteous, who makes us suitable for his purposes. And so people who try to serve the Lord without getting right with God first are really wasting their time, because what God accepts is an offering in purity and holiness, and that is really our lives. God wants us to give ourselves to him. Amen? And God is in the things that we do and in the sacrifices that we make, but what God is really looking at is your heart. Where is your heart at? Are we doing things to be seen of men, or are we doing things to glorify the Lord? So when we speak something, we are releasing a spiritual force. Words cannot be examined in a test tube because words are spiritual in nature and words are powerful. Amen? You can destroy with words and you can build up with words. And when you speak the words that the Lord is speaking, you're speaking words of life. So we're to speak blessings and not cursings. So what we say matters. And what you say, you cannot retract. Because it's spiritual in nature, and once you've released it, it's there, it's out. And so God wants us to understand the importance of aligning our conversation with what he is saying and what he is doing. So when we pray for others and we pray for our leaders, we pray with an anticipation, right? That there's going to be a favorable or a desired outcome. Otherwise, we don't pray. So if a person is really walking by faith and living in faith, right, they're going to pray because that means that they believe God and they believe God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So to say that I have faith and yet not have a prayer life is really not telling the truth, is it? What's another word for that? It's called a lie. If you believe God, then you will listen to his voice. You will obey his word. You will agree with his counsel if you have faith or confidence that God can be trusted. And so 1 Timothy 2:1 says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for who? All men. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Now notice, there's a connection between our prayers and living what? A peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So, God has given us, his people, his royal priesthood in the New Testament, the responsibility to invoke his divine influence in the earth realm. We are to align ourselves with the will of God and pray according to the will of God so that his kingdom would come and his will would be accomplished in the earth. And God has called you and I, people, to partner with him in this process. And once again, if we decide not to go with God, God will find somebody else who will. And I don't want to be replaced. Amen? I want to be a yes person when it comes to the Lord and the things of God. So whenever there's a lack of hope, when people are hopeless, they quit praying and believing. Have you ever done that? Have you ever become hopeless in a situation? Or maybe praying for somebody and you finally just gave up hope on them? Because you hadn't seen anything, maybe at least in the time frame that you were expecting. And how many know that your labor in the Lord is never in vain? And that if you keep on sowing the right kind of seed, eventually what you invest, what you sow, will return to you. Especially when we know that it's the will of God. How many know it's the will of God that none perish? But that all be saved, right? And come to a knowledge of the truth, that they repent. Somebody sent me this week, and I thought it was good, so I put it in here. Faith sees the invisible. It sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. Faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. Praise and worship to God is an expression of our love to him. In a sense, praise and worship is a prayer of love. Petitions are a prayer of hope. We're asking God to do something with an anticipation that good is going to result from our prayers. But then when we praise and we worship the Lord, amen, what are we doing? We're offering really our hearts of love and gratitude. We are adoring him. We are speaking well of. Praise means to speak well of, right? To make your boast of. So we are to make our boast of God, to speak well of our Father, amen? Hallelujah. I know when you're a teenager, you have a little trouble sometimes speaking well of your parents, amen? But usually when you grow up and you mature and you realize that, hey, I know my parents weren't perfect, but I know my parents meant well and they did the best they could. And now that I'm getting older, I'm realizing now what they had to go through. And the older I get, the smarter they become too. But praise and worship is our way of expressing our heart of gratitude, of appreciation, of love for God. And praise needs to be audible. Can you say amen? It needs to come out of here, from here, amen, to the Lord. And through praise and worship, what we're doing is we're communicating back to God how we feel about him. When you speak well of a friend or a wife or a husband, hopefully you do, then you're, in a sense, praising them, right? For maybe a good deed that they did or because of who they are and their character and how much you just love and appreciate or how much you even trust that individual. So praise is important because praise brings us into agreement with what is true about God. When we are in agreement with what is true about God and we give voice to that, amen, well, it brings us into harmony with God's heart. It brings us into that place of intimacy with God in the Spirit. So praise is very important for us, and when we come before God, we're coming before a king, not just a king, but the King of Kings, the Most High God. Amen. And we come with an offering of gratitude, of thanksgiving. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving, right? And his courts with praise. In Psalms 103, verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." Hallelujah. How many know the Lord can renew you? He can restore you back to life and to health and to strength and to hope. Hallelujah. So when we live in a place of intimate union with the Lord through praise and worship, we'll find that faith, the prayer of faith even, becomes much easier to administer. After you've had a time of praise, if you've had a time of worship, it doesn't have to be in a church setting. Amen. It can be throughout your day as you communicate with the Lord and as you express your heart of appreciation to him, giving thanks for the things that you eat. Thanks that God is with you. Amen. Asking God also to help you in your journey. Amen. When you get in your car, you should be praying for God's protection. Amen. When you get up out of your bed in the morning, you should give God thanks. Amen. For another day. And so we are acknowledging the Lord in all of our ways. And it's very important that we do this because, again, when we align ourselves with what is true, hallelujah, it brings us into unity or harmony with him who is true. God is true. God is truth. And so we see God's heart towards his people in the Aaronic blessing. How many remember what the Aaronic blessing was? All right. And it is. Numbers 6 and 24, it says this: "The Lord bless you and keep you." Now remember, God had instructed Moses to instruct Aaron and his sons to bless the people in this manner. This is the way they were supposed to invoke the name of God over the people. Amen. And it was to be done audibly. Now, how many know that in the New Testament, you and I are a royal priesthood? Amen. As such, we have been given the authorization by God to invoke blessings on people. And a lot of Christians, they don't know that and they don't utilize that. They don't step in or walk in that because the enemy doesn't want you to know that you can bless people. The enemy doesn't want you to believe that you can actually be a blessing. And certainly the enemy doesn't want you to know that a blessing trumps a curse. How do you overcome a curse? With a blessing. You bless those who curse you. It cancels out the assignments of the enemy. And that's why it's so important that we align our conversation and that we speak blessing and not cursing. Now, I know when we look around at our world and we see all the crazy stuff going on in the politics, and sometimes it's easy to get caught up in a rant over all the injustice and the things that we see happening. Because I know it's irritating, you know, and it's upsetting. And, you know, God is not happy with what's going on either. He does not like injustice. Amen. He hates it. So there's something to be said about you and I having, to some degree, a righteous indignation against the evil that's happening in our land. But we also have to guard against getting so caught up in that, that that's all we can see. And that's all we're giving voice to. Because you can curse the darkness all day long, and it's not going to change anything. We need to start speaking the word of truth, speaking the blessings of God over our families, over our children, over our loved ones, over our communities, over our church. And so this is what God gave to Moses to give to Aaron and to his sons. He says, "I want you to speak this blessing." Speak it, he said, in this manner: "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." So what does it say? Verse 27, "They shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." In other words, they will be marked by the blessing. that they are associated with the Lord. Hear it. We see God's heart in this towards his people. God wants to bless his people. He wants his people blessed. Now, I know I've heard people criticize that churches have just become bless me clubs. Well, in order to be a blessing, you've got to be blessed. I don't know about you, but I'm okay with a blessing. Amen. But just not to be blessed, but so that we become a blessing to others. Amen. So we don't receive the grace of God in vain, but we labor, we partner with God in his work. Now we know, again, that all blessings come from who? They come from the Lord, right? From God. Now, he didn't say to Aaron, to his sons, he didn't say, ask for grace and blessings for the people. But instead, they were given authority by God to do what? To bless people. Hear this. Sometimes we're asking God to do what he's told us to do in his name. As the royal priesthood with authority, we can invoke blessings. We can speak blessings over people in agreement with the Lord's will. So sometimes we're saying, Lord, bless. And I do pray for God to bless people. Amen. But remember when Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, didn't he? He blessed it first and then he broke it and he distributed it. How many would agree with me? It's a good idea to bless your food before you eat it. You don't know what you're going to get. So if there's a curse on that candy or on that food, whatever, amen, you bless it, and it cancels out any assignment the enemy might have had on that to make you sick. Let's say, drink anything deadly, it won't hurt them. But as a New Testament royal priesthood, we are given this authority in Christ to bless. Guys, listen. You as parents have the authority to lay your hands on your children. Amen. And invoke the divine blessing, even this Aaronic blessing as a New Testament priest, to pray that God's name will be upon your child, to bless them, to keep them, that the Lord will cause his face to shine upon them and be gracious unto them. Right. That the Lord. Yes. This is what you have the authority to do in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And so we have a lot of people that are running around speaking curses over others. But as children of the light, children of the King, amen, we have the authority to speak blessings. And again, blessings trump curses. They defeat them. They cancel them out. So when we talk about a benediction is what? It's speaking blessings over others. It's not just a bunch of empty words. But we should speak blessing by faith in Jesus' name that what we believe, amen, is going to come to pass. I believe that if I speak a blessing, not as a cliche, God bless you, but to say, God bless you. God keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. How? Your words are powerful, amen, because they are spiritual in nature. And when you align yourself with the heart of God, and this is the heart of God we see in this blessing, then it releases that blessing upon people. Blessing the body of Christ. How about speaking blessings over someone who's sick? That God would bless their body. Bring healing. Amen. Remember, Jesus said in Luke 6:28, bless those who curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you. Do the opposite. Paul repeated this when he said in Romans 12:14, bless those who persecute. He said, bless and do not curse. Bless and do not curse. Because, again, blessings cancel out the curse. Now, Proverbs 18:21 is a very familiar passage, but I'll read it. Death and life are what? In the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. But have you ever looked at the previous verse? It says this in verse 20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. That's interesting. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Words matter. Words are important. Speaking the truth in love matters. It's important that we align our conversation with what God is saying, because it will release the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, to manifest in people's lives the will of God. If our words are good words, they'll be satisfying to us. And when we praise and we worship the Lord, we are offering the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God, amen? And when we offer praise to the Lord, hallelujah, amen, what happens is God satisfies our stomach, or our spirits are filled with his presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, you got to give God praise, amen? Do it audibly. Like Larry said, I always quote Larry, Brother Larry. Some of you don't know Brother Larry, maybe you do. Get your ugly praise on. Just go for it, all right? Get over the opinions of people. Go after God, amen? Because God is good, and he is a father who wants to bless his children. Just like God had instructed Moses to tell Aaron to his sons to what? Invoke the divine blessing upon the children of Israel. So our Father in heaven wants to bless us. Come on, somebody. So that we will be a blessing in the world. Because we are here to represent the Lord. And in order to be a blessing, we must first be blessed. And I find it also works the other way around. That if you live to bless somebody else, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. How many know it means more than just giving money? It's giving of yourself. Amen. Giving your life. Hallelujah. Because what you give to God, you don't lose. But it says a man's stomach shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. How many have heard the term, a man has to eat his words? That's where it comes from, really. Well, you ate your words that time. So if we're going to speak something good, speak something that you would like to eat, all right? Ephesians 5:18, very familiar, but once again to be reminded, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another. What? In psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So each one of us is going to be rewarded according to the nature of our speech. Yeah, those who love to speak, those who love to talk will eat the fruit of that. So make sure that if you're going to say something, you're going to be saying something, okay, that's going to produce good fruit. All right, because you may end up eating what you're saying. It can come down. Isn't that what Jesus said? Out of the heart, these things come from within the heart and out the mouth. These things man speaks, and it defiles his whole being. So we need to be careful and align ourselves with what God is saying. And there is life in the Word of God. There's life in the Word of God. We are to be bearers of the light. His truth is light. Amen. When we speak the truth in love. Now, I want to be careful to say this, because sometimes this gets misused and abused to the sense where people think that I'm going to go out and I'm going to use the Word of God to do whatever I want with it. I'm just going to use it to benefit me. How many know that when we go in His name, we're representing His interests? Amen. And when we come before God, it should not be just what I can get out of it. It's like, I want to actually come and I want to bless the Lord, like the psalmist said. And remember his faithfulness. Remember all the benefits, amen, of the Lord. Hallelujah. How good the Lord is. He forgives our sins. He heals our diseases. Amen. The Lord is with us. Hallelujah. And he's mighty to save. If our words are good, they will be satisfying to us. Colossians 4 and verse 6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, the New Living Translation says, so that you will have the right response for everyone. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a what? There it is, royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may do what? Proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So again, as a royal priesthood, we have the authority to speak blessings. We're agents of God's pleasure and goodness on the earth. So if we want to be truly blessed, to be made happy by God, when you bless others, you're bringing joy and happiness to them. When you bless your children, all right, you give your child a gift for his birthday or her birthday, whatever. What do you want to do? You want to bless that child. You want to bring some happiness to that child. All right? Good enough, right? How many know our Father is the same way, our Heavenly Father? God wants his people to be happy, guys. I've heard people speak against that, and if you look at their countenance and the way they live their lives, I think they really believe that God wants people to be miserable. But I don't believe that. I believe the Lord wants us to be joyful. Oh, happiness and joy are two different. No, wait a minute. How can you be joyful and not happy? How can you be happy and not joyful? Don't get into the semantics about this, all right? God wants his people to be happy. It doesn't mean that everything in life is going to be easy or it's always going to be a mountaintop experience. Amen. But the Lord will sustain us through it. The Lord will provide for us the grace we need to overcome and to be joyful in every situation. If Paul didn't mean it, he wouldn't have said, in all things give thanks, right? And rejoice ever, always, he said. And again, I say, he repeated it, rejoice in the Lord. We want to rejoice. It's a choice to rejoice. So when we speak of the Lord, we speak about the Lord in verse 26 of number 6, lifting up his countenance upon us. What we're saying is, Lord, I want you to smile on me. I want you to take note of me. I want you to, you know, look favorably upon me. I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to look favorably upon me. Ephesians 1:2. Listen to how Paul greeted the saints in his letter to the Ephesians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do? He greeted them with a blessing. He spoke, invoked a blessing, even in his letter to those who would read it. And he did it in the name of the Lord. Faith in the name of the Lord. Because he knew that there was power in the word that was in agreement with what God wanted to do to his people. How many know that God wants his people to be blessed? He wants you to have his grace and his peace. In Ephesians 1:3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's given the Lord praise. Amen. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and did what? Raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I love that verse. Do you believe that? Have you been born again? Have you been raised with Christ in new life? Hallelujah. The Bible says that positionally, we are in the spirit together with Christ seated where? Heavenly places. So in that sense, we are to live from heaven to earth and not try to climb up into heaven. You see, sometimes we think if we do all these things, that we're going to climb another rung on the ladder of getting closer to God and getting closer to heaven. How about accepting the reality or the truth that by the blood of Christ I've been brought near and I'm now one in him, amen? And I have peace in my heart, I have harmony with my God, and I'm seated with him in the heavenly places already. And so because of that, I can know the voice of my God. I can know what he's feeling, what he's thinking, and what he's saying. And I can align myself with what he's saying and invoke His divine blessings from heaven here in the earth realm. So in a sense, we're bringing heaven to earth by speaking the truth. If we're seated with Christ, then we're truly blessed because of him. So faith tells me I'm already in that place with him. Guys, sometimes it's like we think we're in this thing where we're trying to climb up a ladder. Are you getting it? Instead of receiving by faith the truth that I in Christ Jesus am already with him. He knows your secret heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows your whispers. He knows it all. Why? Because we're with him and there's no place we can go from the Spirit of the Lord anyways. God sees it all, even the unbelievers, right? So our words are powerful because they are spiritual in nature and they can affect change. They can build or they can destroy. So we want to align ourselves with what God is saying. Now, faith tells me again that I am already in that place with him because I am in Christ, because I am in Christ, then I can speak blessings upon others. If you have small children, even older children that are willing to allow you to do this, speak over them, bless them, lay your hands on them. Invoke God's blessing, the Lord bless you today. Even as I heard once say, a rabbi said, it's actually in the active, meaning it's actually the Lord is blessing you. The Lord is keeping you. The Lord is causing his face to shine upon you and being gracious unto you. The Lord is lifting the light of his countenance upon you, and the Lord is giving you his peace. Receive it by faith. Speak it by faith over your children. Because again, the enemy would love to get a hold of your children and pervert their minds and their thinking. And when you do that, you're invoking the name of God, hallelujah, over them, amen? In a sense, a sealing of them, a protection over them, hallelujah. So then they go out, and they go out into the schools, hallelujah. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on, but they've got the blessing of God upon them. Start doing it. I would encourage you to do it. James 3 and verse 3 says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire what? Body. Do you mean what I say can actually affect my health? It can set your whole life, it says, on fire. For it is set on fire by hell itself. I'm not suggesting that we live in denial about realities in our life, such as I'm not feeling well or I'm sick. But I've known people that every time you ask them how they're doing, all you could hear about is the long list of all the bad things that are going on in their life. Well, let me tell you, no, really, I don't want to know, but no. But, you know, sometimes people have talked themselves into not only being sick, but remaining sick. Simply by their words that they just keep reiterating and you get ready. Have anybody prayed for somebody? You prayed the prayer of faith over somebody. And the next thing out of their mouth, well, my doctor said, or whatever, you know, it's like. They're not believing. They're not there to receive. They're there for maybe a courtesy prayer. Well, if you think I'll do any good. But when we pray, we should pray the prayer of faith. We should believe that God is actually going to touch them and he's going to heal them. And that person needs to also believe together and come into a prayer of agreement. That we are not going to just ask the Lord. We're going to ask with an expectation that God is actually going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer of hope. Amen. And then you and I in Christ Jesus have the authority also to invoke God's blessing upon people. Sometimes the Lord has directed me to pray for young people, you know, to pray a father's blessing over them. Even Numbers 6:24-27. the Aaronic blessing, to pray over them because they never had anybody or a father in their life. And so God has directed me at times to bless them, to invoke his name upon this person. And God has a way of getting a hold of us. You may not see any immediate change, but guys, just be faithful and well-doing. Amen? Let's be constant in that. Because our words are capable of producing good fruit or evil fruit. And you know, let me just say this. Even some unbelievers are aware of this. People that don't even know the Lord or acknowledge the Lord know that there's something to this. They know that there's power in the words that they speak. People in the occult world know there's power in the words that they speak. Amen. If they're speaking a curse on somebody. But as God's children, we're not to curse anyone. Amen. We're to bless people instead. And if you're concerned about somebody cursing you, well, just bless them back. Because a blessing cancels the curse. I had somebody, it's interesting, after I had finished with this yesterday, I had a text come in from a guy who drives truck. And he said, if I've already asked God to forgive me, you know, and I disobeyed the Lord, he said, and I did something and somebody had cursed me or whatever, but I've already repented and I've asked the Lord to forgive me of this. Can that curse still tag on? Can that curse still, you know, hang on me? And I told him, listen, what does the Bible say? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I said, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us, amen, and cancels out all the assignments of the enemy. Once, amen, that sin is forgiven, the enemy has no longer any legal right to you to keep a curse on you, amen? That's why it's very important that people not only confess their sins, but they renounce their sin. They get out of it, amen? They repented. I've asked God to forgive me, and I've also renounced that way. I'm now going to walk in obedience to what the Lord wants for me. So I told them, listen, if you need to believe what God said in his word, what he promised. I remember somebody talking about, well, when you pray for somebody and you lay hands on people, are you afraid that you might get slimed by something or someone? And you know, I thought the answer that he gave was quite good. He says, only if you believe it could happen. Whatever is not of faith. So we are to walk in full confidence that the blood of Jesus Christ covers us, amen, that the Lord has assigned his angels to us, amen, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We do need to invoke God's blessing, amen, over our lives. We do need to commit our days to the Lord, amen. But once we have done that, hallelujah, we know God is with us. God is for us. I don't walk around worrying about what the witches or the warlocks are going to do. Why? Because God is with me and God is for me and God will protect me. Hallelujah. So I'm not walking around in fear because fear can be an open door for the enemy. Isn't that true? We start getting fearful of those things. Oh, well, what's going to happen? Is the enemy going to do something? Are they going to curse me? Oh, can you curse what God has blessed? No, because the blessing does what? Cancels the curse. That's why we fill ourselves with the praises of our God. Hallelujah. He inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. Hallelujah. And praise is toxic to the devil. Keep him out of your mind. Hallelujah. All right. Because he's going to try to get into your head and infest your head with all kinds of negativity and worries and fears and all these things. How many know that the way out of that is to start giving God praise? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. A true Christian is a follower of Jesus. Because see, sometimes people, even in Buddhism, I when I was back in the world, I was kind of like exploring a lot of different things. And I talked to this Buddhist, I think it was a monk, and about, you know, well, what do you do in one of these Buddhist, you know, gatherings? They say, well, we sit around and we chant. And what do you chant? Well, we chant prosperity and all the things that we want. Okay. So, and I said, does that work? And sometimes it does, they said. And you keep just chanting these things using their words, all right, to align with something that they want. Now, the difference is a Christian is a follower of Jesus. All right? So what we need to be speaking, you already got it, what God wants. Not what I want, but what he wants. And God says, if you take care of what I want, I'll take care of what you want. So this is the key. It's not about naming and claiming anything except the promise of God you can name and claim. If God has given you a promise, then you can stand on that promise. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord has promised that he'd never leave me nor forsake me. I proclaim that. I declare that. I believe that. I receive that. Hallelujah. Remember when we were kids? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may what never hurt me. How many knew that wasn't true, right? The same thing is happening today. How many know if you're listening to too much of the media, what are you going to be getting? Their propaganda, right? You're going to get their narrative, what they want you to believe. And they're using words very craftily to try to manipulate the thinking of people to come into agreement with what they want to accomplish, which is satanic. So we understand that even people that don't know God know that words can be used as weapons against people and also as means of controlling the thoughts of others. That's why they use multiple terms over and over again to brainwash people. After people hear the same message over and over, if you were growing up and you kept hearing that, for example, you were ugly or you were stupid over and over again, then after a while, you can start to believe that. The enemy knows the power of words. How many know the power of God is greater? Amen. The power of God's word cancels out the assignments of the enemy. So we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We need to come into agreement with what God has said about me and not what the devil has lied to me about all my life. Most children will respond to encouragement, but a child is very fragile, and you can destroy a child with your words too. You can speak, oh, you'll never amount to anything. How many know if you keep saying that to a child, chances are they'll never amount to anything. We have to be careful to bless and not curse others. Listen to Paul's final words to the Corinthian church here. I'm almost finished. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. That's a good way to say goodbye, isn't it? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. What's he doing? He's invoking a blessing. He's speaking a blessing by the authority that God had given him. Yeah, he's doing it in faith. What was Paul doing? He was speaking in hope that what he had said would come to pass and those who are receiving that. Paul was a worshiper. And through his communion with the Lord, he was able to know the Father's will. And that's why he could put into words what God's heart was and see results. We need to be close enough to the Lord, amen, and walk with him close enough so that we recognize his voice. You know, in the outer court, there's a lot of chatter, a lot of noise, a lot of confusion, a lot of other voices. But when we get close to the Lord, his voice becomes clearer and clearer. Amen? When we are worshipers, when we are walking close to the Lord, amen, in intimacy with him, then we're able to discern his voice from all other voices. And you know when God's speaking to you. So God calls us to draw near. Not that you have to climb up to heaven. Not that you have to, through work, somehow earn enough credit with God so that he'll let you closer. No, it's by faith I believe that I'm already, because of Christ and because of his blood, I've been brought near. I've been brought into union with him. I'm seated together with him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. And so when I call, amen, he's there. He hears. God is with you. He's with me. One of the things I often say, and I tell to people, and some of you know what I'm talking about, is that I'll just simply say, God with you. I'm getting ready to go on an operation. God with you. I'm getting ready to make a decision. God with you. I don't know what to do. God with you. He's with you. Everything you have need is available to you because He's with you. Because you're in Him. He's in you. You're seated with Him in heavenly places. My God, amen, shall supply, not might, shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory. What are we doing? We're putting to word, amen, speaking out what God has already said in His word, a promise for provision. He's a good father. How many here wants your kids provided for? God wants you provided for. How many here wants your children protected? God wants His people protected. So we need to be doers of the word. We need to start practicing, speaking, right, the truth, speaking the word of the Lord into our situation. Hallelujah. You got something going bump in the night in your house? Well, just go in there and start singing praises to God, amen, and declaring the God's blessing over your house. Speak it right out. Hallelujah. If I get something going bump in the night, it ain't going to be bumping very long. Amen. Start giving God praise and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This house belongs to you. This is your sanctuary, Lord. Your presence is welcome here. Hallelujah. This will be a place of blessing, of joy, of happiness, of contentment. The peace of the Lord will reign in this house. Remember when Jesus sent His disciples out? He said, when you enter into that house, He said, say what? Peace be to this house. And if there's a man of peace there, they would be welcomed in. Amen. There's something about speaking the word in a situation. So if somebody curses you, you say, God bless you. Cancels it right out. Amen. Now our natural understanding says, oh yeah? But we're not supposed to operate by our natural understanding. We're not supposed to function according to our own understanding. But in all ways acknowledge Him. Believe the word of God. Speak the truth in love. So let's say this together right now. Amen. Numbers 6:24. Hallelujah. Are you ready? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put My name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. You are blessed, amen, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. God with you, God for you, He's not against you, amen. Align your conversation, speak what God is speaking, amen. And don't align yourself with hell, amen. If you want heaven in your heart, give God praise, hallelujah.